You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Souls Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Mike Dominey, and joining me today is Frederick Brunner of Geniu. And so here we are. Frederick, I'm so glad that you've taken some time to have this conversation with me. Thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure to be here, Mike. I'm glad to be on the podcast.
So Geniu, and we're going to link you and your company in the show notes here so people can learn more about you and what you do. But talk to me a little bit about Geniu. This is a consulting firm. And so what does it do? What do you offer? And how did this whole thing get started?
Yeah, happy to tell you. I was myself a consultant at McKinsey for 6 years. So I've seen, you know, what consulting companies do. Then I was a client of consulting companies for 4 years. And I realized that there's actually quite a big gap in the market when it comes to help clients realize their vision. So not so much about giving advice, but literally giving them the help they need for what is missing that they don't have to help them have a vision that they do believe in, that they want to implement, and more importantly, give to their teams that need to kind of implement that vision what they need to successfully put that in reality. So we say typically your vision, period, implemented, period.
Your vision, implemented.
Your vision.
And
your vision.
I love that. So your skill set, your specialty really is identifying gaps in people's businesses and how their organizations run. And you don't just come in and fix them, you know, but you enable them and equip them to be able to function. Ideally, would you say that ideally, if you do your job right, they won't need you anymore, or is there always a place for that?
I think you nailed on a very important point, which is the traditional consulting firms typically live from coming again because the client hasn't fully fixed what they need to fix. Our value proposition is much more, let's look further out what you really want to become as a company or organization and what you need. And we start together. So we have a business line that is called We Do It Together. And then we finish with You Do It Yourself, right? So it's all predicated on if you as a client do it together with us, you learn by doing. So you embed these capabilities. So there is no do it for you. The traditional consulting firms are all about we do it for you. And the problem with that is in the end, the knowledge transfer hardly to the team. And then, you know, you find yourself in this negative cycle of consultant leaves, the knowledge leaves, and things are not so stable. So what you were promised is mostly on paper, but not so much in reality.
I love it. I love the collaborative mindset. And you play the long game with your clients to be able to set them up for success in the future, so that it's really that teach a man to fish idiom that we say of equipping them to be able to sustain their business in the long run. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Frederick, when did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur? When did that start in your mind, that spark?
So I think there are probably two big moments. There is the moment you're dreaming of becoming one, and that has been quite a few, and I'll tell you in a second. But then there's the moment you realize you're one. And for me, these two moments are very distinct in my mind. The moments I was dreaming to become one was employed, and I realized that I always had a strong desire, strong ideas, strong visions to do things, but the system in which I was working was actually not geared for that. And I started to realize that if I really want to go after these visions, I need to make it myself. So that's the kind of the realization one I had to go through. The second one, when I realized I became one, is when you realize that you have the ultimate responsibility for everything and the buck stops with you. You know, like things such as, you make a promise to people, you make it a promise to customers. If anything goes wrong, it's for you, right? So you need to pay people. You want to make sure the jobs are safe and secure. So every time something is hard, you realize that you are the ultimate person where it stops. There is no one else, you know? So that moment gets very humbling on the responsibility you took. And it is literally about entrepreneurship.
Hmm. I've heard that before from entrepreneurs, just the mantle, the burden of responsibility that you feel for, you know, you've got this amazing team working around you and with you, but you realize, you know, they've got families, they've got kids, and that responsibility of, oh no, I need to use my value to generate income for all these people because there's so much resting on me. And you said that's when you felt like that's when you realize that you are being an entrepreneur, which is a whole new level from dreaming about knowing that this route, this is what I want to do, and then realizing, oh, this is what I'm doing right now, and it's a lot of responsibility.
It is. And it is a very different feeling than I used to be CEO, I also used to be owner, but I joined later and I never had that ultimate pressure. Hmm. You know, you feel more it was a job. When you become an entrepreneur, it's very difficult to distinguish you from the company and the people from the promise you make them.
Hmm. It's difficult to distinguish between the company and the promise you make them. Excellent. So what was in that gap there? You had the dreaming of one day I will be an entrepreneur. I know that just being an employee of somewhere is not for me. And then you had a second moment later on in your journey where you're like, oh, I'm doing it. I feel the responsibility here. What was in that gap? What brought you from one moment to another? Was there a distinct time where you felt that burden of responsibility as an entrepreneur that you were doing it? Or was it a more gradual process of growth that got you there? Was there a moment or was it a process?
I think it's a process where you go through a certain series of steps. You know, at the beginning, you feel like you write a business plan, you talk to people, you think what you're going to do. So that starts to feel already a bit more lonely, but it's still, you haven't really fully launched things. You haven't fully committed. You're still, I would say, in the preparation phase. It's more when you start it and you are, I would say, in a moment where it gets much less reversible, where, you know, you rather say this is a sink or swim moment. So the sinking doesn't represent a good option anymore because you're in the high sea and you're trying, etc. So then it's when you get really, I would say, or I got really clear that I was in entrepreneurship and the only way out of it is success. You don't want to get out of entrepreneurship by failure.
Hmm. Interesting. The only way out of entrepreneurship is success, right? Because the alternative isn't an option.
It's not attractive. No. It's really not attractive. I mean, obviously, a lot of ventures fail, but sure. You really want to prevent that, right? At all price, you're willing to go more than the extra mile to prevent failure.
Hmm. Has there ever been a time? I've talked to a number of entrepreneurs, and they've all admitted that there have been multiple times, even maybe on a weekly basis, when they felt like quitting, when they felt like, whether it's the responsibility of the company on their shoulders or just maybe making a big mistake, that they felt like, I don't want to do this anymore. Has there been a time in this process where you felt that, where just a moment of transparency for our audience who's, you know, maybe experiencing their first time or the first couple times of feeling like quitting and wondering if they're cut out for it? What's your word of advice to someone in that position based on your experience of maybe when things feel like it'd be easier just to quit?
You know, it's interesting you use the word quit because in my very first venture, it was a healthy restaurant back in the days that I did where it was not so much my calling and my mission, where I had that feeling of quitting. And at Genio, I never really had the feeling of quitting despite a lot of hardship. And I think the reason why the hardship did not turn into shall I quit or not, but rather how do I get out of the hardship is because I chose the mission that was close to my heart. I own the vision. I choose the client. I choose my team. So essentially, if everything doesn't work, it's rather on me, right? Did I choose the right mission, the right clients, the right team members? So it's much more like, what do I need now to do to get out of the tough moment on the short term and on the long term? I would say if you really choose a mission that is close to your heart, the bar for quitting is much higher, I believe. At least in my case, that's really what keeps me going. If you choose something just for the money, or if you don't influence enough the parameters of what you like, then I think the bar for quitting gets much lower. And I think my probably learning at Genio is, because this time I really went for what I like, I really think the bar for quitting, I haven't come close to it, even though we had times that were extremely difficult. I think what the other people told you on the podcast is probably the toughness. It is tough, right? There's a lot of downs. There's like, you know, let's not kid ourselves, right? It's not an easy thing to pull off a new venture.
Right. I love what you said about needing to get out of the hardship, and because you can get out of the hardship one or two ways. You either quit or you lean into your mission, like you said. And I think that's so important and so inspiring when that the antidote for feeling like you want to quit and leave the hardship that way is leaning into your mission and getting out of the hardship with that grit and that determination to resolve in your mind what you want to be doing. And perhaps entrepreneurs who feel like throwing in the towel are running a business just because they found it was maybe the easiest way to make money, but it isn't actually what they're passionate about, isn't actually what their personal mission aligns with. And when you have that solid mission and you buy into that mission, what you want to accomplish in life, then it's going to be way harder to quit, because you're not just quitting an entrepreneur opportunity. You're not just quitting a business. You're quitting a mission, and a mission that should feel very tied to who you are. I think that's such a good insight there on the power of mission when it comes to quitting. Thanks for sharing that. That's something to think about. What inspires you, Frederick? What, when you go about your workday, when you go about your life, what inspires you? I think it's important for entrepreneurs for there to be a fountain for them, right? I think entrepreneurs are fountains for so many people pouring value, and especially in your position as running a consultant firm, your goal is to pour value into people and inspire business owners and entrepreneurs around the world. What inspires you? What fills you up?
I was from very young age, you probably heard the term wow, you know, that is being used in sport and when you're wowed by something, right? You get the goosebumps, etc. And for some reason, this is a feeling I never got enough of, right? So we have one value at Genio, which is called go for wow. So, you know, it's very different. We use wow and not great or excellent, because wow is universally understood. In any geography, culture, religion, if you say wow, if you look at a tennis player, a golf player, a book, everybody understands what wow means, right? It's kind of a contagious thing. And for me, wow comes from people. When I see what some people achieve, you know, how much they make a difference of tomorrow versus yesterday, how much, you know, they make something better, smarter, more enjoyable. And, you know, when you have that feeling for wow, you kind of want to recreate it. You know, it's not something that you easily, when you have enjoyed wow on any dimension of your life, if you go to a restaurant and the food is wow, you know, why would you want to go to a restaurant where the food is average? If you go to a hotel and the service is wow, why would you then be satisfied with something which is not wow? So I always found that as a source of inspiration to say, what would be wowing people? Because I think that the difference between how much you invest to go for good, great, or wow is not that different. So you might as well go for wow. and really say, what would it take to wow your clients? What would it take to wow, make it count, right? If something is wow, people will remember, and they will talk about it.
And your company has this value of go for wow. What has been, are there some examples you have, or how do you determine how to get to that wow? You said to go from good to great to wow. What have been some cases in your company where you strive for wow to be able to deliver that to your clients?
So the interesting about wow, it's not rational. It is rather emotional. So when we define about having goals and what we want to achieve, it is a co-creation thing where somebody says something and you know that you are onto wow when other people enrich the idea and you feel the energy of the conversation that everybody wants it, right? It's not like the boss is here and imposes an idea and other people try to get enthusiastic about it. Either the idea catch fires and people build on it and say, oh, can you imagine if it was like that and if it do that and what it would be? And you know, if people can imagine, you know, like it, the wow is rather something you experience, right? It's not something like when you have a wow moment, it's a sensoric moment, right? It's kind of all your senses tell you that you enjoy that. And it's a bit like when you plan a great vacation with friends, you know, like you start to kind of mentally be there and you say, oh, but we could also do that and we could do that. And you can tell if your friend is with you or not. You can tell if the excitement is shared. Yeah. Is the person contributing to the conversation and making it more exciting, or is the person just a passenger in the conversation or even making the thing less exciting, right? So I think the wow is you need to talk about what would be the benefits when the things are done or when the destination is reached, whether you talk about a project or an outcome or whatever, and let people describe how wow would be. And listen to what they say, listen to the tone, listen to the choice of words, listen to the emotions, and you know whether you're onto something or if you're just on the, you know, trying to be great type of thing.
What a great reminder to go for the wow, because I believe what you said, like when you could decide to do something good, decide to do something great, and decide to do something wow, and it doesn't require exponential amounts of effort and creativity to get there. It just requires some intentionality to feel around the room. And another great reminder that you said there is that this aspect of business, when you're trying to wow your clients, is a very emotional one. I think a lot of times entrepreneurs can get stuck in this trying to determine out what's logical, what's rational, what fits it best in the spreadsheets, what looks good on graphs, and we tend to remove that emotional aspect from it. But there's so much of really we're trying to reach our clients, yes, on a practical, logical level, but also on an emotional one. And if you can get that emotional response of, oh, wow, that was above and beyond. Wow, I did not expect that. Then you've hooked their emotions. You've hooked their hearts into the business, which is a more powerful bond, really, between clients and the businesses.
And there is, if I may, another thing which is quite surprising about the wow. Not only the difficulty is not exponential, the people who hear about what you try to do, whether you talk about new colleagues joining you or clients, everybody is much more drawn to something that is about to become wow than the next thing a little bit better. So there is this reverse correlation of how much it attracts people if they really believe you're serious about going for something fundamentally better that they feel drawn to. You know, I really have that belief that nobody likes to come home and say what I did today was average. I don't believe that. I think no matter what people do, I think everybody has a very big pride. If you go back home in the evening and you feel like, man, what I'm doing here is quite remarkable. I'm wowed myself about where we were yesterday or a month ago or a year ago. It's worth my time. Yes, I work hard, but when I see what we achieve here, I think this is contagious. And I think the future of work will be much more on people joining wow ideas or wow project because it's worth it. because you feel fulfilled by it.
I love that. I love it's not just about wowing your clients so that you can, secure the account and make long-time clients, which is great and important, but it's about building this energy and camaraderie in your own team where they get to go home to their families and they say, "Wow, that was we really moved the ball down the field today. We really made some great progress and did some amazing things, or we're really setting ourselves up for something amazing." And that is what gets your people always striving, always coming back, always pushing. And what a great, the power of wow is, I just have to say, wow, I did not expect our conversation to even go into there. And I love how organically we've been able to explore that whole concept. And thank you so much for sharing that, man. That's a lot to think about. I love the concept of wow and what we can do to foster that culture of wow. We've got a couple minutes left here, Frederick, and I like to ask my entrepreneur friend here about one word. All right, if you were to summarize what essential character trait is important for entrepreneurs to cling to. In one word, what would you say is that essential trait for entrepreneurs?
Can I use two?
I'll allow it.
Because I really think it's mission commitment. You need to have a mission that you really believe in. Your mission needs to be so important that no obstacles can stay between you and that mission. No, you will refuse that an obstacle keeps you away from your mission. And the commitment is the fuel to that. If you have, and that goes back to your question about quitting. If you have a mission you really, really want and believe, and you have a commitment to it, a lot of the things that come in between will be taken care of. If you fail to have either of these two traits, I think you are at the mercy of obstacles and waves and surprises. I really think that is probably what I believe is really a trait to go the whole nine yards.
And that's really a good two-parter. It's find that mission. It's define that mission in your own life that is core to who you are and what you believe and what you want out of life. And not only define it, but then commit to it so that then guides you through the obstacles, guides you through the hardships, and gives you that grit and determination to keep going. Mission commitment, wise words from Frederick Brunner of Geniu. Frederick, it's been an absolute delight of a conversation, a wowing conversation, I know, for a lot of people. So thank you so much for your time here today. We've talked about commitment to your mission. We've talked about how much your company can strive for wow, how that's an emotional thing among your team and your clients, and so much more to learn from Frederick Brunner of Geniu. Again, I'm going to put these here in the notes so that anyone listening can follow you, can find you and your work. Frederick, thank you so much for your time here today. And it's been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you, Mike. It was a pleasure to be with you and have that conversation. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, this has been another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneur Series. Many thanks to our special guest today, Frederick Brunner. This is Mike Dominey, and I'll see you next time. Stay ignited. Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.